Welcome to Narratives. Mark Tedeschi's day job as a top Queen's Counsel exposes him daily to the farce and tragedy of the law courts. So for recreation, he researches famous Australian criminal cases from the past that fascinate him. In this extract from his book Eugenia, he exposes the very private life of the first recorded criminal conviction for murder by a male impersonator.
Harry's life had a certain comfortable monotony to it. The labouring jobs, the boarding houses, and the drinking sessions with his mates seemed to be his whole existence. He had long ago lost any sense of surprise at how easily people accepted him for the person he now was. His good looks and charm made him popular with both men and women. For many years, when women had thrown themselves at him, he had flirted with them. But in abject fear of exposure, he had never taken things any further. He found this agonising because deep down he had a great need and desire for physical and emotional intimacy with a woman, but the risks were too great. On one occasion, when his inhibitions had been sufficiently calmed by alcohol and his desire for intimacy felt overpowering, he found that he could not stop himself venturing further with a woman. The experience was quite terrifying, as he was fearful that it would end in discovery, exposure, and humiliation. But the woman was quite inexperienced and had no idea in the dark what to expect from him, and she seemed quite content just kissing, hugging, and allowing him to fumble at her. His elation afterwards was overwhelming. It emboldened him to go further the next time. He was resolute that if ever he had another opportunity for intimacy with a woman, he had to be in a position to do more to satisfy her. So he decided to equip himself with an implement of pleasure that would enable him to do just that. Having had many younger brothers in Wellington and having lived for several years with fellow sailors in the close confines of a cruise cabin, Harry knew exactly what dimensions and qualities the instrument required. Harry experimented for a long time in the shed at the back of his boarding house to fashion a device that would feel like the real thing. It had to be strong but soft. He had to be able to use it with both hands free. Above all else, it had to be secure so that it wouldn't fail him and alert his sexual partner to the fact that it was not part of him. In the end, he fashioned a piece of hardwood into the right shape and size and attached two leather straps into grooves at the base of the wood so that the top edge of the leather was flush with the wood. He attached the straps with strong flathead screws which he rounded so that they didn't protrude and countersunk them into the leather. Next, he placed a layer of gauze around the wooden object, the main purpose of which was to provide grip between the wood and the outer layer. He then tightly wrapped around it the best quality leather that he could afford, making sure that it covered the area where the straps were attached to the base. And he sewed the seams of the leather securely together along the bottom edge with the finest, strong cotton. In this way, even with his fingers, he could barely feel the seam and couldn't sense the straps or the screws at all. He tested it with his hands many times to ensure that the leather was so tightly attached that it would not come off the wooden base and that there were no parts of the device that felt rough or unnatural. The first time that he tried this new device on an unsuspecting woman, he was terrified that it would fail and he would be discovered. He began by ensuring that the woman had had a lot to drink beforehand. He realised that the whole exercise had to be conducted in the complete dark and that he had to make sure that the woman would not touch him intimately, but that was nothing different from what he had done in the past. When his partner was already naked in bed and the room was almost totally dark, he went briefly to the bathroom, still in his upper and lower underclothes, and still protected by the bandages that he had always kept tightly wrapped around his chest. He took with him a small cloth bag that contained his secret weapon. In the privacy of the bathroom, he applied a liberal amount of odourless petroleum jelly to it and then strapped it on, putting his underpants back on over it. He then returned to the bedroom and slipped into bed. He spent more than the usual time in the preliminaries until the woman was bursting with desire for penetration. Only then did he remove his underpants, leaving his upper underwear still in place, and guide his manhood with one hand until it was fully inserted into the proper place. As he entered her, she groaned with delight, and he felt a great sense of relief. Once this initial step had been accomplished, he was able to use both his hands freely to caress the woman and ensure that her hands did not wander too far down. When they had completed their lovemaking, he made sure that he was the first to go to the bathroom, where he removed his appendage, wiped it down, and placed it back in its cloth bag. Very few women in those days had enough knowledge of sexual matters to realise that there had been no semen emitted during this intimate exchange, or to distinguish the lubricant from semen. Afterwards, his partner was deeply satisfied and praised him for his performance and stamina.
You have been listening to Mark Tedeschi, reading from his book, Eugenia. Narratives is produced by Karina Winmoyle in the Bay FM 99.9 Arts Canvas.